How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvers and Dave Meltzer here on Wrestling Observer Radio, July 26, 2011, here at figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. Tons of stuff to talk about today, including the return of CM Punk on Raw after being gone about a week. And that's the big angle leading to the SummerSlam champion versus champion match. John Cena is the champion after beating Rey Mysterio, who won the title earlier in the evening from Miz. Very newsworthy show. And Dave, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Not too bad. The show tonight, lots of stuff going on. I know that I was looking through our message board, and there were people that thought, oh my God, they're going to go on the show tonight and talk about how they killed the Punk angle and everything like that. And I don't know, maybe you are, but I thought the angle was fine. I just thought it came awfully abruptly.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't think one way or the other about the Punk angle, because that still has, I mean, it could have been done better. They should have kept him off longer. They weren't going to do it because they warned him on SummerSlam. So, I mean, it was either going to be this week or next week, no matter what. So, I mean, given the other ideas they had, this was probably the best idea, because the other ideas, the first idea, the idea that they were going to do, which I really don't want to get into, but it would have killed it dead. I mean, completely. And this was much, much better than what they were going to do. But, but I mean, as far as is it alive or dead or anything, I mean, it's not going to be anything that special. I mean, the most impressive thing to me is that they, that Vince actually did something that he would never do and Punk got him to do, which is spend money for, you know, the rights to a real song as opposed to a WWE created song, for Punk. You know, I mean, like, you know, there were so many times and so many guys who've tried to get him to do that and he won't do it and he did it. So that was actually a breakthrough. But as far as, like, is that going to mean anything in the big picture? Nah, probably not.
Well, he did it for Undertaker.
Yeah, that's true. He did do it. But Undertaker's a different level, too.
That is a different story there for Undertaker, yes.
Yeah.
It was the same music cult of personality that he was using in 2005 when he did essentially something very similar to this exact same angle in Ring of Honor. So a lot of nods to insider fans. This was one of them. His return was brief. He showed up at the end of the John Cena match. They played the music. He came out. He got in the ring. They both had championships. I was wondering who put the nameplate on Punk's belt, but that's another story entirely. He held up his. Cena held up his. The fans, obviously the male fans, obviously they were louder and more vociferous, and they thought that CM Punk was the real champion. John Cena held up his title, and suffice to say, they did not find him to be the real champion. And then the show ended, and after it went off the air, Punk announced that he was back, and then he looked in the camera and said they need new Punk merchandise. He celebrated in all the corners, and he is back, and that'll be the main event, and I guess we'll see where they go next week. Presumably, Hunter has re-signed him as part of this new regime, and that certainly does get around all of the problems that would have arisen had that storyline not come about, because he had a lot of problems with WWE and Vince McMahon, and it made no sense for him to come back. But now that Vince is gone, perhaps him and Hunter made some sort of business arrangement.
I guess so.
We'll see what they do next week.
I mean, we'll see. I put it this way. I don't expect, you know, as far as like any big increase in business or anything like that, I don't see that at all. I think that this week the rating will probably be up a little bit for a couple of reasons. I think next week will probably be back to normal. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, it was really, you know, I mean, the show was really good, but you can do a really good show when you change the world title and bring in a bunch of guys all on the same show, and change the world title twice, so to speak. But, you know, my experience is, I mean, I remember when I was younger and I would see a show like that and I go, man, what's a great show? And then like the older promoters would go, that's not a good show. And they always ended up being right, because business usually did not do well, you know, when you hotshot your championship like that, you know, three times in 8 days. And you know, these two guys are not even the destination for the belt. But then again, the destination for the belt changes, you know, literally every 90 minutes. And, I mean, the one thing that I did think was funny is people going like, well, you know, you have to wait and see what they're, because they probably have a great long-term plan. And, I mean, if you know anything about what happened this week, that's actually the funniest thing in the world. They have no idea where they're going other than Alberto Del Rio is supposed to end up as champion. And that's been the case for, what, 6 months now.
Yeah, think about
still,
that.
And that was supposed to be the case, you know, how many times in the last couple of weeks?
This literally is about the fifth time that he was supposed to be in a championship match and win the belt, and now that's not going to take place.
And probably not until September at the earliest.
Not to mention, they probably went back and forth. In fact, I know at least one time they went back and forth on who was even going to win the title at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
That tells you everything you need to know right there.
Yeah, that was just today.
And that didn't matter, quite frankly. It didn't matter which guy won it. You know, they made the right decision in the sense that...
Well, I mean, it was a much better match with Cena and Ray than it would have been with Cena and Miz.
Exactly.
I mean, Ray really had a good night. I mean, as far as, like, I thought Ray had two great matches. And Ray really was the spark plug in both of them. I mean, Cena did well. I think, in a sense, given the fact that Cena doing a Rey Mysterio match is pretty clumsy, and it showed at certain points, but
I'll
it still was a great match. And, you know, Miz and Rey had a really good match, too. I thought, I really loved the spot. I mean, I just thought Cena did it so well, where Cena, you know, was selling the leg and everything, and he had him up for the attitude adjustment, and he just collapsed. I just thought that was great. But, I mean, overall, you know, I mean...
I'm glad he did one thing well.
Yeah, well, I mean, him trying to do that match was very difficult for him.
I'll say. It was funny because last night on this very show, we were talking about the idea of taking WWE main eventers and sending them to work a lucha style in CMLL out if they know how to work. John Cena would be literally the worst luchador of all time. And I'm talking, you know, all those capos and whoever else was just horrendous workers down there. Good God almighty. They'd work rings around Cena.
But it was still a great match.
It was a great match because of Ray working for literally ten men.
Yeah, Ray was awesome.
It was
almost
awesome
kind of sad
tonight.
That they did that big celebration and then took it off him like an hour later. It was kind of like, you know, they wasted a lot of good champagne and stuff or whatever it was.
Yes, they did.
You know, it's like one thing to do the big celebration. I don't know. You know, it's like you do a celebration and you take the title off of him by the end of the show. It was kind of. But, you know, I mean, again, for him, he was not the major player in this. And you know, so that was the deal. And they did let him get, like, a little thing in on Del Rio as well, you know, to keep the Del Rio thing going. And, you know, again, that's still the ultimate destination, but I guess they can't do anything with that until, I suppose they could do it at SummerSlam at the earliest. You know, whoever loses or whoever wins, I mean, you know, Del Rio can cash it in then, or he can... cash it in at some point, you know, soon after that. Actually, probably after those two guys have a grueling match would probably be the time to do it.
Well, it was a little bit frustrating watching just how, we should start at the beginning here since it was a Rey Mysterio match, but just quickly, how excited people were when Rey won and how into the near falls they were in the main event. And I know that they don't see Rey as like a guy or anything like that, or he's not in their current plans, but when you look at this whole thing, I mean, would it really... I just look at this and it's like one of those things where I think, you know, you could have done a good 4 or 5 months of storylines here and, you know...
Oh, they breezed through, but I think the whole thing was is in their mind, it was like all hands on deck. They have to have everyone in their big program at SummerSlam.
That's just lame. You're rushing it. Just...
Well, I didn't think Punk needed to be back until January.
Well, not even that. Just make the card... And put the title on Ray and do a match with Ray at SummerSlam.
Well, that was never the plan.
I realize this, but do this stuff and then you have the Ray Cena match in October, and then you could do your CM Punk return and he can maybe even do it in September. I don't know, September, October.
That was never the plan. The plan was always.
I know, but I'm just saying what they could have done to stretch this out, and this would peak instead of tonight. You would have Punk make his return at the Survivor Series, or right around the time that Rock is going to be there. And
yeah, I don't know. I would not. That's the one night I would not have had Punk return as the Survivor Series because there's a couple of reasons. I mean, number one, it's going to be a tough night. They'll do okay, but if he were to return to Survivor Series, his return would become the number two story, and you don't want it to be overshadowed. If you're gonna spend time, like months, keeping him out, the last thing you want to do is bring him back when he's like the number two story of the night.
All right, so have him come back the month before, and you do Cena versus Punk at Survivor Series instead of SummerSlam, and then Rock comes back afterwards.
You could do that.
Because presumably Cena is winning this title in the champion versus champ. I could be wrong.
It doesn't really matter, though. I mean, that's the thing about this one. It doesn't matter because either one, you know, I mean, I wouldn't be so sure, because the fact is the guy who's winning is then losing right away. So the guy who they actually want to protect more is probably the guy who they'll, well, I mean, either way. You're probably right, though. They probably, in their way of like 50-50 booking, they probably would give it to Cena. But it doesn't matter, because, again, like it's like neither of them is the guy who's supposed to be champion, who's going to be champion for very long. I mean, that's Del Rio, unless they change their mind again, which, of course, could happen.
At this point, it's like the Sakara match.
Yeah, I guess.
Just give up on.
You know what, though? I mean, like, any of this is—it's actually kind of hilarious to even be discussing anything like this, because the fact is that what goes on there is nothing like this discussion. What goes on there is just like who comes up with the last idea before it's like 9 o'clock and we got to go on the air. I mean, that's literally how this thing's being booked. I mean, even the whole SummerSlam card changed. You know, like in the last couple of days. I mean, it was completely overhauled. So. It's not like, none of this is like, it was supposed to be seen in Del Rio. So, Punk's thing, Punk and Hunter are going to go, but then Hunter's got to go heel at some point, which I guess they're probably going to do. And then that would be, that probably will wind up. That could wind up at Survivor Series. I could see that.
Show opened with the title match, Rey and Miz. Good match. Very good match for the title. They got a lot of time. The fans were into it. Went about 15 minutes or so. Maybe a little bit longer. I don't know if you have the exact time.
But 13 minutes, 16 seconds.
13:16. So they got a fair amount of time.
Good
on
match, though.
TV show to have a match. And fans went nuts for Rey's near falls. Miz... Story of this match, it was kind of interesting. We talked yesterday about how WWE apparently being unaware that a man on one leg overcoming the odds twice in one night is a babyface type of deal, because he did not sell his knee at all until the very end of this match. They just completely dropped the knee deal, and he worked the
but
match.
Then he did because it was his out for losing, because I think they didn't really want Miz losing to Rey, but they had,
But they decided to have him lose to Rey.
Yeah, and that's they kicked back the knee injury thing as his excuse.
Oh, my God. So Rey ends up winning, and place goes nuts. It's his first ever WWE title, believe it or not. He had the World Championship a couple times, and this was the first WWE title. And Miz attacks him afterwards, and suddenly Alberto's music hits, comes down to ringside with his briefcase. He's jumping up and down. He's all excited. He's yelling at the announcers that he's going to cash in and win the title right now. And immediately over the ropes comes Rey with a pescado, wipes him out. And Alberto leaped up, grabbed the briefcase, ran for his life. So Rey retained the title for an hour and a half. And hell of an opening segment.
Yeah.
I would like to note that Miz afterwards... I know they're into this social networking, and they're into, I guess, making some insider comments, that sort of thing. But Miz on Twitter tonight says, Punk and Cena, Triple H's new WWE seems a hell of a lot like the old one. I got two words for you. And I just thought, what was the purpose of this tweet?
There is no purpose. They're just trying to say stuff. I mean, it's not like he had time to think of it. I mean, what's he going to say?
Well, you'd say something that doesn't... if this were real, you lost. So what are you bitching about? Unless the idea is that you're breaking kayfabe here, in which case, what? Why?
Well, I mean, I think the whole idea is that they're trying to do a dual thing where they're breaking kayfabe when they're actually doing kayfabe, just a new version of it. Kind of like, you know what I mean? Like
so exposing the business
a different level for like they have their internet level and they have their TV level. The TV level is for the masses, and the internet level is to try to work the internet fans.
Hmm. So
he's... like the old it's a shoot thing, kind of like what TNA tries to do and fails to do.
So he's mad that he got booked to lose, but it's a work.
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to... There's a great example of me being an old-timer and saying, that's not drawing no money.
Well, I mean, again, I got to say this. As much work as everyone does, and I keep bringing this up, okay? All of the work, the WWE and UFC both, I mean, with all the work that Dana has done on Twitter, the fact is that since Dana's gone on Twitter and he's gotten all these followers, the TV ratings have dropped, the pay-per-view numbers have dropped, and they sell less tickets. Now, I'm not saying it's because of Twitter. I don't believe that 1% of any of these drops is because of it. I do believe that all this work means nothing. That's so far. I mean, again, in 10 years, will it mean something? Who the hell knows? You know, a lot of things may. And maybe they're on the ground floor. But right now, I mean, you know, it's kind of like reminding me of kind of like the internet boom when somebody would like tell me, you know, like, we got like a million hits on our website. How much revenue did you get? Well, $6. And it's like, and then they were out of business. And it's kind of like, okay, you know, that's all well and good, but the big picture, you know, it does not have to do with, you know, the big picture is do you sell? And that's the bottom line, you know, for all these companies. And for WWE, it's the same thing. You know, they've got all of these guys on, and are they selling more tickets or less tickets? Well, slightly less right now, but it's the summer months. But I mean, sure. Are the ratings up or down? Well, they're kind of down right now. Yeah, are the buy rates up or down? We don't know because I'm sure, the last one was probably pretty good, but, you know, overall, you know, Rock drew. Well, you know, Rock was going to draw whether he was in social media or not. But the point is, all of this stuff, it's like they have this new thing that they are trying to manipulate, but it seems to be for them like a lot of work for no reward whatsoever so far. But I guess maybe down the line it'll pay off. But we'll see. But yeah, you're right when you say like it's no money. So far, it's been no money.
We had everyone celebrating with Ray backstage, dousing him with alcohol, and Cena walked in and everybody got serious, but then Cena smiled and shook Ray's hand, and after he walked off, Ray said that all of these sacrifices pay off, and tonight he was coming home to his family, and he was bringing the gold.
Does that mean he's going to go heel?
Poor bugger.
I hope they don't turn him heel, because I remember when they turned him heel in WCW, what a freaking disaster that was.
Well, at the moment, he was telling the truth.
I guess. I don't know. I just thought, like, bringing in the kids and everything, you know, Dominic and Aaliyah and everything, and it's like, and then he loses the title an hour and a half later.
Yeah, we'll find out next week.
Yeah.
We have Dolph and Evan
Bourne. Yeah, you mean like they have an idea?
Well.
On Friday, they're going to go, now what do we do?
Mm-hmm. Dolph and Evan. Dolph has new music. Had a fun little match. Evan missed a shooting star. Dolph hit the zigzag, choked him out, and then screamed, follow that! So there's your insider remark for the evening. And in fact, Cena and Ray did follow that. And
isn't that like, what's the name? The Pope. That's the Pope's line, right?
The Pope?
The Pope. Good. Remember the Pope in OVW? He'd come back from his match.
That's
follow
right.
Follow that.
That's right. I thought you were talking about on Impact. No, but you are correct. He used to come backstage and say that and got a lot of heat.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that like the thing is to follow that. Is supposed to be like when you have like a hell of a match. So maybe the rib is that, I mean, I don't know, the thing is that if he had like a really shitty match, it would work because then he's like a heel and he's lying. And if he had a really good match, then he's arrogant. But when you have like kind of like just, a normal match, it's kind of like it didn't serve either master.
John Cena had a better match than Dolph Ziggler tonight. So I wonder if Dolph's not tweeting about
Cena.
That. Huh?
But Dolph Ziggler had a better performance than John Cena.
Well, he sure as hell did. That wasn't saying much. The Bellas may have had a better...
He had to follow Rey Mysterio, so it was kind of like...
In fact, I would go as far...
It's not exactly like he could follow Rey Mysterio.
I would go as far as say Kelly had a better performance than Cena tonight, because she did a spot...
I would not go that far, because at least his facials worked and his body language worked. He just was clumsy.
Yes.
But he still had a great match. Kelly did not have a great match in any way, shape, or form.
When Kelly went out there and she whipped her hair back to mock Maryse, and Maryse just could not believe it, I thought that was awesome. The only good thing about that was the cute spot,
I guess.
We had the Bellas and Eve bitching backstage, and the Keystone Light guy, it's the only way I can describe him. I don't watch sports.
Keith Stone.
Don't know who the fuck Keith Stone is.
He's in all these TV commercials.
I don't watch TV.
How do you miss him? I mean, I see that
pretty easy when you don't watch
day.
TV. Unless he's walking around my neighborhood, I'm never going to see Keith Stone, if that's his name.
Hey, on one of the commercials, he takes this bird, brings him a salmon, and he puts it on the grill. I mean, it's like a fish, not like cut up salmon, and it comes out and it's a freaking meal.
Wow.
Yeah.
Goddamn!
Cool.
I need to watch more TV then.
Yeah, and the whole line is just like what you said. It's like, oh, Keith Stone, you're so smooth.
Ah.
But the thing made no sense because the whole deal was that he was going to do the thing so that Bellas couldn't switch in a match, and the Bellas weren't booked. So it was like,
yeah, what happened, everybody? This was mind-boggling. Keith Stone shows up, and the Bellas are there.
Product placement.
Eve is bitching that the Bellas keep doing a switcheroo. So Keith Stone goes over, and the comedy was that he started to draw a mark on one of the Bellas' forearms, and the camera moves away for 2 seconds, and when it moves back, there's an entire arm length tattoo on her arm, and they're like, "Oh, Keith Stone, he's so smooth." So he draws a thing, and you're thinking, okay, well, that'll make sure these Bellas don't do the switcheroo tonight. And then they immediately announce the Bellas were so mad that they left the building,
and they didn't even wrestle.
No, that's your payoff.
Yeah, that was pretty lame. I mean, they didn't even. Yeah, but whatever.
Very lame. Well, yeah. Actually, one of the Bellas, speaking of, since we're on the subject of Twitter, whichever Bella was, said that, I believe she said she couldn't get it washed off, so maybe she'll show up next week and it's still there.
I'm sure the remnants will be.
Wouldn't that be awesome if she got, like, an unauthorized tattoo, and this was, like, their storyline explanation for it? Now she has this mark forever because of Keith Stone.
Yeah, I don't think they can keep that one up.
Mm. Well, if it's a permanent tattoo, they'd have to.
Yeah, I guess so, if it was permanent.
Yeah, she'd just have it forever, and then you could always look back and go, remember that Keith Stone? He's the one that drew that on her arm, because he's so smooth. There's my product placement for the evening.
Yeah.
So they had a match, Kelly and Eve against Maurice and Melina, and the only good spot, as noted, was the hair flip spot, and then Kelly pinned Melina, and that was that.
It was funny, because Melina was on Twitter this week, too, and I think that may be why she even got on, where she was saying how it's been months since she's been on Raw, and then all of a sudden she's on Raw, and Michael Cole used some adjective to describe her. I'm trying to remember what it was. It wasn't batshit crazy, but it was something similar to that. She's a whack job.
A whack job.
Yeah, he called her a whack job, which I thought was like, you know.
It's not good when you're called a whack job.
No.
It's really not good on television.
Especially when you're a heel and it's the heel announcer calling you it.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I think he also had a line about how he kind of liked Melina.
Yeah, well,
and
yeah.
And the others mocked him for it. Yeah. We had Triple H, actually him and Truth were pleading some sort of case backstage. And then he came out for the State of the Union. And first off, he announced, he said, thank you, Vince, basically. And no one liked that one bit. Then he congratulated Ray on winning the title. Said he was in charge, and so he was going to do a rematch here on Raw. And said that Ray would face the man who was cheated out of his deserved rematch, John Cena. So fans didn't like that either. So now he had to become popular again. So he announced that he'd rehired Jim Ross. So Ross came back to television. And
I'll tell you what. Ross really helped that Ray Cena match.
You don't
a
say.
A lot. I mean, it was like it was a completely different dynamic of a broadcast than it's been in months. I mean, he was like, I'm not sure if he was really good or, because when I was listening to him, I didn't
Cole really
think,
sucks and he wasn't there.
But everybody else sucks. And so all of a sudden just being normal good is like fantastic because, I mean, goddamn, you know, I mean, the Raw announcing hasn't been good. The SmackDown announcing is fucking horrible. Although, I mean, when I watched on Friday, like, my mentality was when it was over, this is how bad it is. This is like, the announcing was really bad, but it was less, like, horrible than the week before, so I consider that, like, almost a positive.
A win, yes.
But, I mean, it was, like, really, there was, like, time after time, I'm just listening to this going, like, they're missing this, they're missing this, they're missing this. And then Booker would say something, and it's like, this is so stupid. And then Michael Cole would say something, and I'd go like, this isn't getting anything over. And then, you know, I mean, just a whole 2 hours of this. There was one point where it was, like Daniel Bryan puts the guillotine on Heath Slater.
Mm-hmm.
You got three guys, and you got one guy who's afraid to say it, so he doesn't say it. You got one guy who's clueless what it is. And you got the third guy who knows what it is, but he's, like, so into himself that he, you know, just ignored it. And it's kind of like, nobody called the move.
Well, that's SmackDown, everybody.
Yeah.
I was wondering why I had to watch a Kane match that went through five commercial breaks.
because they had a lot of time to kill.
Now, granted, by the time the match was over, I it was significantly better than I expected.
Yeah, they wanted to do a pay-per-view quality match, and wasn't quite there because of Kane, but it was still a good match.
Yeah. Anyway.
The thing that, like, when they brought... The thing is with Ross, it's like, he was really good, but, like, next week when Cole's back, and, you know, the whole thing is going to be Cole just bitching at him for two straight hours, and then Ross trying to, like, ignore it. And, I mean, that'll be okay for, like, one match, but that's going to get annoying, too.
Hopefully he just goes to SmackDown.
He's not, though. That's what I first thought. I thought, well, they'll leave the crappy announcers on SmackDown and Ross will work with Lawler, but they made it real clear that Cole's staying.
Mm.
You know, that they gave him the night off.
Come on, that means nothing until next week.
Yeah, Ross could get fired by next week, too. It's in the decision.
That is true.
Although I don't expect it. But that is amazing. I mean, just the fact that Ross is back is amazing because it's like, it's probably been, what, probably eight times, some number like that, that they have, like, gotten rid of Ross for real this time. He's not coming back. And, again, this time, I mean, you know, with it, between the age and everything like that, it was like he's really not coming back. And, I mean, it's been a couple of years, and he still came back. And they still brought him back because nobody else can do it.
Vince found a great way to bring him back, and, you know.
Yeah, but he's going to, the same reasons that, you know, him and Kevin Dunn got rid of him all those other times, it's going to crop up at some point where they're going to go, you know, the
God
whole
damn,
age.
Damn, he's too good.
He's old. We need to get rid of him.
He's too good.
Hey, it was never that he was too good. It was always the
too
age and the look.
Old. Who cares? You're not watching like a... I never understood this. It's like if there was a split screen and you were watching the announcers the whole time, then it'd be like, okay, well, you know, they need to be young. But for God's sake, you almost never see the announcers.
Even if you do, you're not... The announcers are not... What's what we're looking for?
It doesn't
matter.
They're
not the marquee thing. The announcer needs to be good. The announcer doesn't need to be good looking. The announcer doesn't need to be young. The announcer just needs to be good to get the talent over and to get the stories over. And I mean, the problem with the Cole thing is, you know, one of the problems with Cole is whatever he could have been, you know, I mean, when they switched that character, they took that part, you know. I mean, it was a short-term thing, and you know, again, you can justify it and say it did build up to something at Mania, and it probably meant something at Mania too. I mean, they went a little long with it, but the Cole thing was super, super hot for a long time. But there's that point where, okay, now what do you do? And now they got this guy who's announcing that no one believes a word he says, and so he's not really very valuable as an announcer. He's a lead announcer on both shows, so it's kind of a waste. I mean, it's kind of a negative now, so. They bring Ross back, but they're keeping, I don't know. It's like, I think that they can't get, in their mind, I think they can't get rid of Cole because he did his job really well. It was just a stupid job, or the wrong job, so to speak. But, you know, now, I don't know. We'll wait till next week and see how the dynamic is. But I just have this feeling that Vince is, knowing Vince and everything, I just see that this is a way for Vince to really get on Ross. Although the one thing that may be different, and this was even with Cole out there, is, you know, Vince seems to, like, have a new idea of what an announcer should do. Because he even had Cole out there, you know, talking about what college guys attended and their height and weight. And it was back to the old school announcing. You know, Cole was even doing that before Ross came on to do it. So maybe Vince is sitting there going, like, you know, in one of his things of, well, one of the problems is the announcing. They're not getting these people over as credible human beings, and we need to go back to that. In which case, again, you know, Ross is the best guy for doing that, and whatever. We'll see next week. We'll see if, like, it's just a whole bunch of one-liners, you know, directed at Ross for two straight hours, or if they just go in there and, you know, try to announce to get the talent over.
So Cole refused to work with him, and Hunter said, well, I was going to fire you, but your severance package is ridiculous, and so... Well, you can walk if you want, but you'll be in breach of contract. You'll forfeit all future earnings. Take tonight off and show up Friday for SmackDown if you want. And if not, well, that's great. So Cole said, well, listen, I'm going to sit down and do my job. And Hunter said, well, don't do that because if you do, you're going to miss your match. And he said that Cole said he was retired. His gear was in the Hall of Fame. And Hunter said, don't panic. I had gear made for you. And unless you want to quit, you better get suited up. So Cole went to the back, and out came Truth, and they jibber-jabbered back and forth in what was essentially a comedy segment. Truth is now speaking to his imaginary little Jimmies, and Hunter was making fun of him for doing so, and Long story short, Hunter announced that he had re-signed someone else, who ended up being John Morrison, who I didn't know had been fired or cut or moved, but he's been re-signed. So he came out and beat up Truth, and I don't know if he didn't have a lot of notice, but, you know, he was still cut, but he looked a lot smaller.
That's one thing I was going to say. You know, usually when these guys get hurt, they come back so big because they get all juiced up when they're gone. Not John Morrison. Boy, he...
No.
I mean,
he looked like tough enough John Morrison.
Yeah, the thing is, you know, like, yeah, usually, like, you give a guy, you know, a couple, you know, because doesn't really, you know, when you have, like, an injury like that, generally speaking, you know, when you can't do your lifting or anything like that, you know, you're going to either get fat or smaller, and generally both. But once you can start training, you know, you can pretty much get it back in about 3 weeks. I mean, most of it, not all of it. I mean, all of it you could probably get 6-7 weeks. But the point is that he hadn't started, so they brought him back early. And which is probably, he was probably going crazy over, you know, not being able to, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, not, you know, maybe not being on TV or something. But he looked so small. I mean, he looked like Brian Kendrick.
I didn't know why he didn't wear a shirt.
Well, he's still got a good physique, but, you know.
I know, but he, I just love the idea that he just randomly walking around backstage in jeans and no shirt.
Yeah, that is, well, yeah, but this is wrestling.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, I mean, guys.
I was in wrestling. I didn't do that.
Yeah, that's true.
We had.
But I've seen guys do that for
well,
years.
Yeah, but usually they're big.
Walk around and with no shirt on. That happens all the time.
Yeah, but they're usually big, jacked up goofballs, not guys who lost 20
pounds.
In his
mind, he is a jacked up goofball. He just isn't today. But in his mind, he doesn't. You know, I mean, that's his mind won't change. His You know, as long as he doesn't look at himself in the mirror, you know, I mean, he thinks he's the same guy, and 3 weeks from now he will be anyway.
As long as he doesn't look at himself in the mirror.
Yeah, okay, so I'm sure he did that, you know, 50 times.
Problem with your theory.
Yeah, that was a big problem, wasn't it?
We had them playing Hunter's Bow Down to the King, and out comes Michael Cole. And listen, goddamn do I hate when things don't make sense on Impact, and so I'm going to talk about how stupid this was. So Michael Cole spent 10 minutes crying and bitching and whining and not wanting to have anything to do with anything, and he's forced to go backstage and put on this gear for this match he has upcoming, and it's against his will. He doesn't want to do it. The only reason he's doing it is so he doesn't have to quit and lose his severance package. And they play Hunter's music, and out he comes in Hunter's outfit, doing Hunter's entrance, spitting the water, and everything. There was no explanation for why he was voluntarily doing this. Nobody even bothered to say that Hunter forced him to or he'd lose his job. He just came out, and he's playing along. I have no idea why. Pissed me off. And then Zack Ryder beat him. Announced as an internet sensation. And they chanted his name until he had to do the Rough Rider. He did the worst one of his career, which was great for his career, because they thought it'd be a great idea to have him do that move on Michael Cole. What a bad idea. So anyway.
Well, doesn't matter. It was so quick that nobody really noticed it. The one thing that I thought was interesting was, you know, they were in Hampton, Virginia. And, I mean, they did chant his name, but when he came out, the reaction was pretty underwhelming.
It was.
I mean, and in a lot of the cities... It's really interesting about how there seems to be like two different types of WWE fans. You've got your big city fans who are kind of like, I would say, ahead of the curve, and then when you're in what's what I would call not big cities, you get a completely different type of an audience. And you know, like this one, it was like they had, you know, there were people there who knew him. It was very clear, but you could also tell that probably easily 80% of the crowd didn't have any idea who this guy was.
He did get some Let's Go Ryder chants, so that was at least good.
Yeah.
Alberto versus Kofi. The story here was Alberto trying to avenge his loss from last week. They had Ricardo out there, thank God. They basically repeated the same finish from last week, but this time Alberto got the ropes, and then he snapped Kofi's arm across the ropes, armbarred him for the submission. This week's parody booking under Triple H.
Well, it's the same regime. I mean, they believe in parody booking.
I know. They should have said that in commentary.
Did I ever tell you the story about the parody booking and when Vince got mad about that line about booking a couple weeks ago?
No.
Okay. It was out of nowhere, it wasn't like somebody brought up, somebody says parody booking, okay? But just like in the middle of nowhere, Vince is in this conversation and he just goes, and then these people talk about parody booking. My father did parody booking. And I mean, the thing was so funny is his father did like the exact opposite of parody booking. And he was trying to defend it, said like his father did parody booking. I mean, his father did the most predictable booking in the whole world. If you were on your way up, you never lost to nobody. And when you're on the way down, I mean, you still beat the job guys. But I mean, when you lost to the top guys. But the point is, he never ever did parody booking unless it was like the opening match guys, Johnny Rods and Jose Estrada and those guys. Maybe they traded wins back and forth for, no reason because it didn't matter. They were opening match guys. But the key guys, the money guys, there was no such thing as parody booking. I mean, the whole thing was the guys who needed to get ready to draw, they never lost until, they hit their peak. And then when they hit their peak and they were over, yeah, then you can lose and tell your stories with it. But to get the guy, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. When a guy's going over. And here, I mean, parody booking if you're doing parody booking, then no one's getting over as quick as they should because they're busy losing matches that keeps them from getting over.
We had Josh interviewing Miz backstage. He could not believe that Cena was getting a title match tonight. He said Cena was the guy that got them in this mess in the first place. It was all Cena's fault. Things have gone from bad to worse with Hunter in charge. I watched this thing and thought, oh my God, Hunter's going to go out there and pedigree the Miz at SummerSlam. I suppose it's still possible. Yeah. So he said he could not believe the face of the company was literally a man with no face. What a line that was. And anyway, he's unhappy.
Well, I mean, the whole thing was to plug that he's going to be on George Lopez Wednesday night. That was the whole reason for the interview.
You know the problem with Miz is? I finally figured it out.
You have? You've been telling me the problem with him for 6 months.
I got a new one this week.
Okay.
That goddamn faux hawk.
I don't know.
I cannot take him seriously with that haircut. I don't know.
If he was really good, you could.
That might be.
I mean, I think the thing is that he's kind of good. He's a hell of a promo. And they kind of half-ass book him strong, but not really.
Except for last week.
Yeah.
The exact wrong
Maybe
time.
Maybe he can have that trick knee when he ever has to do a job now.
It should!
Yeah. That way they can protect him.
Yeah. Then we had Cena and Rey for the title. It was awesome. Mostly, all because of Rey Mysterio. John Cena.
Well, he can't do Lucha Libre style.
Oh, my God, this guy. God bless him, but...
But he tries hard. He's just not smooth. That's all. He's just not Keith Stone.
He is not Keith Stone.
No, he's not smooth. He's a lot of things, but he's not smooth.
No. He works like a stone, like a rock, like a big boulder. And
yeah,
Ray,
it was really obvious watching this match, like his limitations, that's for sure.
Yeah, movement.
Dexterity, he was a lineman. I was thinking, God, it's amazing he played like football, but he was a lineman. It wasn't like he was like a defensive back or anything.
Ray just orbited around him, did the best he could. It was actually, really, if you watch John Cena in this match was a miracle how good this match was. And Ray, I can't say enough good things about Ray tonight. And obviously, he won the championship, and then he had a championship match with John Cena, so obviously he had his working shoes on. But holy shit, that guy can work. God, he was great.
He's been great for 18 years.
I know, but tonight he was above and beyond great. I mean, I thought he was just so great tonight. And did all their spots, and... Finally, after kicking out of 8 million things, he went for a second 619, and Cena just hoisted him up, FU123, and hell of a match. And then afterwards, the Cult of Personality hit. CM Punk came out, his version of the title. They had a dueling deal where they held their belts up, and fans loved Punk. They hated Cena, and there's your SummerSlam main event, and there you go. Very good show. As you noted, hot shot a lot of stuff, two title changes, but... Even with all that said, a hell of a show.
Oh, yeah, it was very entertaining. It's just, three title changes in 8 days, and everything's rushed. But, I mean, it's like I've seen those, like I said, I've seen those kind of shows, and it usually means the angles peter out real quick when you do those kind of, you know, these type of things. I mean, remember the Invasion, the TV show right before the Invasion where they did all those angles, and what a great show, and you know how that turned out. I mean, although they did get a big first buy rate.
That's what I'm saying. They did almost 800,000 buys.
Yeah, but after that, it went right to hell.
Well, yeah.
I mean, the whole thing is that you know, you do 18 months worth of booking in one show, and it's like, yeah, okay, you get one thing, and then instead of your 18 months worth of business, you got 1 month worth of business.
I want to go over this poll here very quickly since I'm on the page looking at the Impact spoilers. Will GSP and Nick Diaz break 1 million buys? I voted no.
I don't think so.
Let's see the results here. Let's see what the listeners have to say. For some reason, it's coming up as no votes. That's weird.
No, you've got it. Hold on.
Let me try this one more time.
I'll try.
Maybe I didn't vote.
Hold on. Let me find this.
Oh, I got it now. Okay.
Oh,
303 people, 70%, say no, it will not do 1 million buys. And 130 people, which is 30%, say it is going to do 1 million buys.
Yeah, I don't think it will.
I don't think it's gonna.
You know, just it is going to be the biggest one between now and the end of the year, except for, well, I don't know, like, the Mayweather, I'm wondering, you know, Victor Ortiz isn't really that big of a name at all. The Mayweather's fighting in September, and then Pacquiao's fighting probably in November against, is it Marquez? Pacquiao-Marquez, I think Pacquiao-Marquez might do 1 million buys, probably will. I don't know about Mayweather. But no wrestling show's doing 1 million buys between now and the end of the year, not even close. And then this will be the thing, a lot depends on what they do as far as the build up in the last couple of weeks. So I think they should do like a 3 week prime time. And the fact that they could get 800,000 with Jake Shields, so there's the potential really is there to do a lot more than 800,000. Because, you know, Nick Diaz is just a lot more compelling of a personality than Jake Shields. And also, you know, a more entertaining fighter, too. But just, he's just got something. I mean, Nick Diaz has something. I mean,
yes.
I know people who are not really big fans that, you know, just are really into Nick Diaz.
Yeah, he has that you never know what he's going to do or say thing. Which is
a very valuable thing. But as far as, like, selling a fight and everything, even though he has absolutely no clue whatsoever how to sell a fight or that he is selling a fight, he's actually quite good at it.
Yeah, because he either entertains people and they love watching him fight, or people just are begging for somebody to beat his ass.
Yeah. He's got the Jimmy Snuka interview thing. You know, where he makes absolutely no sense, but somehow, just because of who he is, it actually works for
well. Well, he makes sense in the 80,000 things he says, going from subject to subject, like the wind.
He usually doesn't, unless he's talking about something that has nothing to do with fighting, he usually doesn't make sense. Mm. I mean, like, fight, you know, if he talks about, like, you know, marathon running, yeah, he makes sense. If he talks about nutrition, absolutely he makes sense. Talks about fighting, doesn't make any sense.
Let's look at these Impact taping results here. I was trying to look at them as you were talking about Diaz, and that's why I chuckled here when I saw that on Impact this Thursday, there is in fact going to be a lumberjack cage match.
And an Ultimate X match.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. A lumberjack cage match.
Well, you just wait. If you think that that's so stupid, you just wait, because Vince Russo will do something a lot more stupid than that probably tomorrow.
I don't think it's dumber to have a lumber. I don't think there's anything dumber than a lumberjack cage match.
Okay.
Maybe a battle royal in a cage where there's no room to throw anybody out.
How about a battle royal where you start on the floor and you try to get in?
That was pretty stupid.
Yeah.
That was pretty stupid.
How about like a Christmas tree match?
No, that's one I'll never forget. That was a good one.
Yeah.
This, though. I mean,
how about a loser leave town match where they come back 2 weeks later?
Especially
we get them from both promotions every other week.
That's right. But John Cena didn't sign a contract saying he was never going to leave. Signing a contract while not under contract.
Huh?
Yeah, that's what they did. They weren't under contract, but they agreed in a contract, I believe, that if they lost, they'd leave.
No, they gave their word.
Oh, well, who accepted that?
I don't know. They advertised it that way.
Let's look at this show. Kurt comes out and has a back and forth with Hogan. A lot of yelling and screaming and accusations. Hogan claims that Angle winning the medal was a fluke. So much for being a babyface. And Angle tells him to fight his own battles and beat up Sting himself. Hogan says he's got 8 back surgeries. Angle says he can't be bought like Mr. Anderson.
That was a good one.
I don't even know what the point of this was.
I don't know. I mean, like, Kurt's been a heel for so long being bought, and now he can't be bought.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
RVD beat Gunner. Bound for Glory match. We got
How many
Bischoff.
Points did he have?
I've no idea.
I don't either.
Absolutely no idea.
Yeah.
Bischoff got a letter from the network, and they're supposed to sign more X Division wrestlers. And then, I swear to God, everybody, Sting shows up and announces that he is the new network guy.
Yep.
Storyline will
the
never
back.
End.
The network storyline's back.
That's the storyline.
Like
I was begging for that one to continue. I was begging for a new network guy. So, he announced Angle Anderson in the match, in the cage, with Lumberjacks. So, we can blame Sting for that one. Kendrick and Shelley came out and bantered back and forth. And I guess, what do we have here? Aries said that he beat 2 guys to qualify for a match and beat 3 guys to get a contract, looking out for himself. Kendrick and Shelley are about pleasing the fans. He's going to do what's best for himself. He's had 5-star matches. Now he wants a 5-star bank account and a shot at the title. So I guess at Hardcore Justice, it's Kendrick, Shelley, and Aries. And then Abyss says he's going to kill the X Division tonight. And Sting announced Kendrick versus Abyss in an Ultimate X match. Wow. Crimson beat Bully. So Crimson at least back on the show. I think that means he remains in first place.
And undefeated.
And undefeated. No one cares. Winner beat Tara. Velvet Sky and Tracy versus ODB and Jackie. There you go. And Fortune 6-man at Hardcore Justice. And Sting came out and asked them to keep Immortal away from the ring. Is that in the cage match?
Yeah, that the Fortune's the Lumberjacks.
Shouldn't the fucking cage keep them away from the ring?
I was thinking the same thing, yes.
Hmm. And then Kendrick and Abyss in Ultimate X. Kendrick wins. So Abyss apparently is afraid of heights.
That's the third guy in the promotion.
Oh, he's a great gimmick.
God.
And what a finish. Abyss picks up Kendrick for a choke slam, and he picks him up so high that Kendrick grabs the X. You know they could find a fluke finish in an X Ultimate X match. It's possible. I got to admit, they found a lot of ways to do screwy finishes in this company. It does take a lot of creativity.
And, yeah, but it doesn't do any business.
Of course not. And then Kurt Angle beat Mr. Anderson in the Lumberjack cage match, and Bubba Ray tried to help Anderson, but it backfired and Angle pinned him. And then Sting and Angle had a stare down. There you go.
Well, the whole thing is, you know, they're doing this storyline with that Bully Ray and Mr. Anderson don't get along. So that's like adding another chapter to that one.
I would like to finish the first chapter first before I get to the battle of these two guys when the guy just joined the group 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
All right, what else do we have here? Alessio Sakara, I mentioned it earlier. Third time they tried to create a fight. Third time it failed. Third time's a charm. Never bother booking this fight again.
No, I don't think they're ever going to book this fight again. It's not like anyone really wanted to see it.
No, it's not.
I mean, I never cared about it the first two times anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, when Alessio Sakara got sick, I think it was Alessio Sakara that got sick in wherever it was, Germany, I think. I mean, it wasn't like I was going, oh, my God. Although the only thing is I think this makes eight substitutions so far in this show, and we still got almost 2 weeks to go.
I've already predicted they're going to lose the semi-main.
Okay, so it's Vitor Belfort and
Vitor's pulling out.
Vitor Belfort and Akiyama.
Yeah. This is not news, everybody. This is just a prediction based on how cursed this show is. It's got to be like the semi-main.
If it is cursed, you would think Vitor is going to get hurt.
Yeah.
Because he used to do that all the time.
I want to be listed in the National Enquirer this year if I predict this one correctly, but I'm saying that Vitor Belfort pulls out due to injury.
Okay.
Or whatever.
Well, Tito nearly pulled out. Not nearly pulled out, but Tito wrecked his car on Sunday.
Really? I nerd that one.
Yeah, he crashed his car, but he's fine. He's not missing the show. So that was a close call.
I'll say. What was he doing? Just driving?
Yeah, just driving. I don't know what happened. He just wrecked his car.
How about that? All right, let's do a couple questions here before we wrap it up here today. Let's see. This person says, does Vince have a new problem with Obama? Is there anything more to all the cheap shots taken by Cole and Lawler tonight towards the president, more than just his speech taking away viewers from Raw?
I think probably that. And I don't think he was ever particularly fond of him. I remember when he won the election and Vince thought that it was going to be like just horrible. So.
I remember hearing Rick Rude told people right before he died that Steve Austin had talked the WWE into bringing him back into wrestling as soon as he could get out of his WWE contract in 1999. Is this true?
Well, I know that Rick Rude was when he died, was up to 252 pounds, and he was training for a return in WWE. I don't know so much Steve Austin. I had always heard it was just Vince McMahon and Rick Rude. He just wanted out of WCW because he wasn't happy there and he wanted to go back, yeah. And return to the ring, too.
Yeah.
Which probably wouldn't have been the best of ideas, you know. I mean, he never got that far, but, I mean, you know, there was a reason he retired in the first place, and that was that his back was thrashed and he just couldn't really go. I mean, I know, like, Shawn Michaels came back and everything, and so I guess it's possible when you rest for a lot of years, you do kind of heal up, but it probably, I don't know. I think that if he would have gone, at his age and everything, I don't know how good he would have been coming back. It probably wouldn't have been, you know. I mean, if he was taking so much stuff just to train to get back in the ring, it kind of scares me what he would have done once he was back in the ring. So he never got there.
This person is talking about Punk and ROH, and suffice to say, after tonight, I don't think we have to worry about anybody chanting his name in Chicago. Well, they might.
No, it was never an issue.
They
like
might.
I said, it was the night before SummerSlam. It was never going to be an issue.
All right, let's do one more here. Is Sid on the WWE's ban for life list with Randy Savage? He's one of the few guys who was starting in the 90s they've never brought back for anything, and they never mentioned his name.
He can't really go. What could he do?
After he broke his leg, that was the end.
Yeah. I mean, he has talked about wanting to go back, you know, many, many times. But from what I've heard, as far as, like, the very rare occasions that he goes, he can't go at all. And WWE, the Sid Vicious of you know, his prime could not go in this WWE because, it's just a much higher caliber of in-ring. I don't want to say work. But work, too. Mm-hmm. But you know, what Sid did, you know, kind of like the big guy who can't really do much of anything, you know, that stuff isn't really... I mean, like, people, like, look down at Kane, and Kane's, like, 1,000 times better than Sid. So, like, Sid, you know, and then plus being, you know, what's Sid now? Sid's 51, something like that. And, I mean, it's like, you know, 51, you know, I mean, what's he going to look like? I mean, I know he... what he looks like and everything now, but you know, you can't really do that there, you know, so it's, that's another issue. So you know, I mean he'd be okay for like a week or two, you know, be like the Kevin Nash thing. I mean, he'd get the big pop coming back, but then what do you do next? You know what I mean? Like Kevin Nash, who's you know, I mean, also can't move or anything like that. I mean, and he got the big pop. The fact is that they, you know, they never used him again because they knew that, you know, I mean, what exactly can you do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, unlike TNA, which used him constantly, even though he couldn't do anything, and got nothing out of it because, you know, he never helped them. In fact, he probably hurt them a lot more than he helped them in most cases.
Well, everybody, that's going to do it for today, but we're going to be back in a couple of days with a brand new show. We got a new back issue of The Observer up right now. We'll have a new Figure Four up tomorrow. We'll have a new Observer up tomorrow as well. And a lot of stuff coming up. Check out the front page for more, and we'll talk to you again after a while.